Now, a very good evening to you, and you're very welcome to another edition of Terrace Talk. Donal Barry with you here until 8 p.m. this evening. And God, we have plenty live guests for you this evening. Anyway, all on the phone, of course, this evening. Really, the weather's cat out there, isn't it? I was going to say, getting here this evening was a job in itself. So hopefully you'll hang around with us and keep the radio on there in the house or wherever you're listening to it, or maybe in the car and a whole lot. Now, there was some crack last week with the announcement of last week's Terrace Talk team of the championship. It's safe to say that we got plenty of people talking across the county anyway. And I suppose, after all, that's what it's about, really, isn't it? Talk and more talk. Plenty I can't believe they left him out, and plenty what are thinking about by putting him in. And I think, you know what, after all, it was a great team, great debate, and well done there to Liam and John, and of course, and we'll do it all again next year. And hopefully, sure, the people that didn't get in will get in next time on all that as well. Now, despite the county championship being wrapped up, there was no shortage of football over the weekend there. Plenty of people are wrapping up and heading out. I suppose the latter end of all the championships at this stage. Well done to Gaeltacht, of course, and Rathmore. One of them, believe it or not, will be a senior team next year. Gaeltacht, I suppose, surprised winners possibly over Legion. Rathmore probably favourites, I suppose, over Beaufort and got there over the line. It's going to be a fascinating final, actually. And what about Darragh O'Shea scoring 13 out of 14 points? Came all the way back from Clonakilty, where he was hiding out for a year or two there, but back with the Gaeltacht. Are the Gaeltacht good enough to go senior? Get your comments in there. Rathmore, will, of course, will face them off. And what about the junior final? Listroy getting past, of course, Ballymac, having trailed at the break in that game. Fuss, of course, edging out Ardfert, and setting up a real neighbourly battle. I mean, Listroy and Fuss only ditches between each other, and one of them will be winning the junior championship, of course. One team, of course, with the Cliffords on board, and the other Clifford team, of course, Ronan Buckley, remember him? Rory Murphy, of course, from East Kerry. That's going to be a fantastic game, and they're all down for decision next weekend, and of course you'll be travelling off to one of those, hopefully. And of course the hurling, no joy, unfortunately, for Kilgar and Causeway and Killard, who lost out in the Camogie as well, but fair play to them. They've certainly done themselves proud there in the Munster Hurling Club and Camogie Championships. And I suppose, you know, people that got up to loads of different things over the weekend. And on Friday, I ended up, believe it or not, over in Corns, like a lot of other parents, up early in the morning and taking the number one person in your house, the goalkeeper, out. And he headed to Corns for the Kerry J Centre of Excellence, where there was a meeting of kind of all famous number ones in the kingdom. There was a host of goalkeepers there: Shane Ryan, Brian Kelly, Brendan Keely, of course, Kilcommon, Sean O'Carrigan, of course, Cordell, and my next guest, for who is, I suppose, well remembered by some people as being a real flamboyant goalkeeper. I floated the name around today to a couple of friends of mine to see who they knew or what they knew about this fella, and one guy says he was as good as the Colombian fella. So Shane Corn, have you ever been described as good as the Colombian fella before?
I think Rennie Higgies will be delighted with that with that kind of endorsement.
Absolutely.
I'm not so sure I'd be delighted with it, but anyhow, look, I suppose every cripple has their own way of walking, and goalkeeping has obviously taken on a whole new life now, and obviously when I was playing I enjoyed playing and had some great times up and down the country against some of the best players and counties, and it was a great time to play. I just wish that I was playing now. It'd be great crack altogether, you know.
Yeah, you were down, of course, at the goalkeeping. I suppose it's kind of cool to be a goalkeeper, which is amazing. I mean, my young fella playing in goal, I mean, everybody wants to be David Clifford, or they want to be the next best midfielder. Back in your day, was it cool to play in goal, or was it kind of the place that you ended up?
Well, it's a bit different, actually. Funny enough, you know, you're very lucky. You've been very fortunate in Kerry over, I suppose, the last 40 years since I started playing football, or in particular, I suppose the 70s had a big bearing on what I thought about the game, and the great Charlie Nelligan obviously playing, and then you had obviously many more after Charlie, Jeremy Murphy, Declan O'Keefe, Brendan Keely, you know, the lads that are playing, Shane Ryan now obviously, and Brian Kelly, were all great goalkeepers and great lads, and you've seen that the advice that were given to the young kids coming up in Currans on Friday was just exemplary and brilliant stuff. And I think they obviously it has changed, the role of the goalkeeper has changed over the last 20 years. It was Stephen Cluxton been one guy that has kind of made it maybe a little bit more important and sexier. But you know, if you look at the way even Shane has developed, Shane Ryan, over the last number of years with Brendan's coaching and things like that, the game is totally and is always evolving. And I think now young Gaelic goalkeepers see a lot of guys been a little bit more extrovert, and the goalkeeping position been thought of been far more important, but also more thought going into it as well in terms of coaching and that. And it's so important to teams now, because the success of most, if not all, teams is intrinsically linked to the quality of the goalkeeper. And if the goalkeeper isn't comfortable or isn't confident, the team suffers. And if the goalkeeper is, consequently, the team does well. And I think, you know, there was a huge attendance in Curran's. I think over 100 people attended. And it just shows, yeah, how important now that people are taking it. And there was such an array of talent there. It was just fantastic to see. And, you know, like to see that replicated all over the country in all counties. And look, we all know now that the goalkeeper is so important to every team. And the effort going in, the counties have to put into now to getting the really, really top class goalkeepers, but also top class coaches, is so important to a team's success.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Speaking of team success, in Tisgas, I was talking to a friend of mine from Valencia. He remembers you for a totally different reason, of course, and that's taking an All Ireland Junior final off him when Roscommon won, and you were captain. Speak to me what it meant at the time to win that. I think that was down in Inn and Tipperary, and you fairly handily beat a lot of good Kerry players on that team. What was that All Ireland like? I mean, winning that from the Roscommon side.
Well, that's hugely important at the time, because seven of us, we would have been, I suppose, to be honest, but we should have been on the senior panel, but for one reason or another, the politics that was at play in Roscommon at the time, and probably still permeates to a certain extent, we weren't. And Gish Sheard was the manager, and he asked some of us to play junior football. A lot would have thought that it was beneath some players, but the lads played and played very well. And as I said, seven went on to win senior Connacht championships the following year by beating Mayo in Galway in the Connacht championship. Subsequently, Galway bet us to go on and win All Ireland in the quarter final. But actually, it's a funny point you bring up. Dermot Murphy was actually in goal for Kerry on that particular day. And Dermot went on, obviously, to have a stellar career with Kerry. He was a brilliant, brilliant goalkeeper. Great guy as well. I've been friendly with Dermot over the years. And it's funny how careers go. You know, Dermot went on to win in All Ireland and obviously All Stars after that with Kerry. And I think he's involved in a selectorial capacity again with Jack. So, it gave us a great bounce as well. We, you know, we won the Connacht, as I said, and we ended up being very competitive for 4 or 5 years. The regret, I suppose, that many of us would have is that, you know, had we probably started in 97, 98, 99 together, we could have had a very successful team over a 4 or 5 year period. But unfortunately, that wasn't the case. But look, it was great to win that All-Ireland down in Ennis. It was a massive crowd in it, actually, on the day. It was the day before the All-Ireland final, and We enjoyed those celebrations afterwards. Not too often those common teams be carried, no matter what it is.
Oh no, and it's a grade that's well regarded down here, because Tig Morley, Killian Spillane, Paddy Clifford, I'm sure Jack Sherrill was there as well, Jason Foley, they've all won Junior All-Irelands as well, and they've gone on to bigger things as well. And it was a grade that, you know, that I suppose the counties that put the time into it got the best out of it, and I suppose people moan now that Kerry are no longer part of it. Come here, a comment coming in, there's a couple of comments coming in already. They recognise the voice, that's great, you're making my life easier. But this poor man, anyway, he must have been writing since about 4 o'clock this evening. Donal, I'm delighted that you have Shane Corn on this evening. The very name brings back so many happy memories of my late father and uncle, who both relocated to Kerry for work and remained such loyal Roscommon fans over the years. I remember particularly 1989 when Shane scored that wonderful penalty, but we were forced to play a new final the week later. My father was so disgusted at this that he packed us all into the car and we were all driven to the replay in Roscommon. Roscommon won. They were great memories. My uncle used to say that the only team they hated more than Galway was our local rival St. Michael's, and he was from St. Ronan's. Now, I have no idea where St. Ronan's and St. Michael's are, and well, I don't want to cause a civil war up there, but I presume they're proper rivals. Great to hear Shane Corn on the radio. I really enjoyed his book and loved the passion that he brought to the games, and that Sean in Tralee. Go back to the 1989 one. Obviously, it's the one that people will look at YouTube and say, my God, that mad thing there. It kind of propelled you to kind of notoriety for a while, but speak to us about the replay, because everybody remembers the goal you scored, but in truth it counted for little enough.
Yeah, look at it, something kind of, it follows me by, and you give a dog a name, you have it forever. that's just the way it is. You know, so at that time actually I was an outfield player. I only, a bit like Shane Ryan, my formative soccer years, Gaelic football, was always outfield. But in soccer, I was a goalkeeper, and I ended up being what you call it, I was centre forward in that minor team in 89, under the late Jimmy Finnegan, who sadly passed away last year. But as it happens, I took a penalty maybe I shouldn't have had, to be fair, and it ended up in the back of the net, and there was a big conflab. And then the anyhow, Galway were very good sporting organisation that they are, offered us the replay, and we had the replay the following Wednesday week, I think actually it was, in Castlebar. There was the same referee, John Cosgrove, refereed that, and lo and behold, we got a penalty in the first 5 or 6 minutes of that replay, and John Cosgrove and I are both seen and pictured blessing ourselves at the same time. So luckily enough, I stuck that in the back of the net, and the game actually went to extra time in that replay as well, and we won it with the last kick, the last punch of the ball actually, from a lad by the name of Eddie Ennis, who was from the Bridges Club at the time. That team, the Galway team, had Sean O'Dwyer playing and a couple more. So I think luckily it was just one of those things, one of those historical things now that follows one around. It was a penalty from maybe somewhere that shouldn't have been taken, but anyhow, I always say it's a good job of hit the back of the net, because
you'll be well remembered.
I could be in Columbia or anything. If I didn't, I should say I'd be shipped out fairly quick.
Yeah, you'll be well remembered as the fella that missed the penalty, which is nearly worse than the fella that scored it. We met Shane Corn on Friday. Not sure as the young lads knew how good he actually was, but they certainly loved his big football gun. Speak to us about the big football gun. You certainly were making loads of little friends the last day over in Corns. I suppose for people that don't know what I'm talking about, it for all the world, it was a big version of one of those tennis things that you load and fire.
Yeah, exactly, and I think, look, the goalkeeping coaching has picked up so much now. The equipment also must, I suppose, run in tandem with it. And ball launcher is a fantastic piece of equipment that will aid all goalkeepers of all ages and sizes and all ages and grades. And it just helps to develop the goalkeepers a lot faster. And what's measurable is manageable as well. So we've got different speeds on it, different grades, different spins, different all sorts of things on the machine. And ball launcher is just a terrific bit of equipment for the likes of goalkeeping coaches, Brendan and Brian, that are involved with Kerry and others, and just delighted to actually showcase the product down to the guys that, you know, would hopefully in time aid them with their coaching from underage right up to senior level. And the actual ball speeds are incredible. It goes from 40 kilometres per hour to 120 kilometres per hour, and you know, as I said, it's measurable, it's manageable, and it certainly gives it greater density to practice, not only for goalkeepers, funnily enough, as Brendan remarked when we were coaching, you can use it for outfield players as well, for hype catching, for breaking ball, for all sorts of things. So all these type of technologies are hugely important if we want to try and develop the goalkeepers quicker. And also, I suppose, as you alluded to there, Donal, there's a fun and an enjoyment to it as well. When young people see equipment that's been used like that, it helps them develop firstly, but also gives them maybe a better understanding and a bit of fun that they can actually replay in their minds the next day and say, well, I want to get better at this and I want to get better at that, and we'll use ball launcher to do it, explain as I said. So I think the kids enjoyed it, and we had a fabulous day down there in Corns, and you know, the lads were just fantastic, with some gloves glued, were brilliant, and obviously the official Kerry coaches as well, and I was just delighted to be part of it. Brendan and I, as well, have been talking about coaching for quite some time, moving back to Sheeran ideas and things like that, and Kerry was just so lucky to have a lad there that's so invested in the development of young goalkeepers, and with Brian and all the others, and Sean Oak as well, and Shane obviously feeding into all that then as the number one goalkeeper in the country now, an all-star and all-Ireland winner, and just delighted to be able to be able to.
And he played corner forward for his that. And he played corner forward for his club the last year.
It's a bit like what they call him, the Morgan lad in Tyrone as well, you know.
That's right.
He's an outfield player as well, and yeah. I think once you have them skills from out, it gives you a greater appreciation maybe of what's going on in terms of the capacity of these goalkeepers to actually play as outfielders and see the game from a perceptual point of view, from kickouts, and be able to balance the game differently in their minds to other players, and again how important they are when a team wants to try and progress. Kerry are very lucky to have the quality of lads that they have.
Donal, I'd love if you could Oh my God, they're all flying in now at the moment. You see, normally we don't get really famous people on the show like yourself. You say so. We put your top of the bill this evening and we advertise it. This guy wants to know what it was like winning in 2013 against Ballymun Kickhams, and he says, I turned off the television when they were 2-3 to a point behind and went for a walk and came back and they had the game won. So he'd given up on you, really, I'd imagine. That was an unusual final. First of all, I suppose the whole emotion of a Roscommon club winning it, and again, of course, it was a Ballymun team that had, I suppose, Philly McMahon was playing and Dean Rock and a lot of bigger names like that as well. What was it like winning that club with your club, I suppose, at All Ireland with your club, Shane?
Well, your listener might have turned off his radio and television. I was nearly going to go back up in the stands after conceding 2 goals in the first few minutes, which I don't think it ever happened in my career, in a pitch and all Ireland final to happen. It was one of those things. It was a good job that we conceded them early and not late, because yeah, it gave us a chance to get back in the game. But on a serious note, I look at Donald, you know, from Roscommon's a small county. We're probably not ever going to win the San Maguire. We certainly won't win it the way we're going at the moment, and unless we change things. But it's going to be a long, long process. But the Bridges process was a very long process. It was 20 years in the making. We were very, very fortunate. And I have to say, I was very fortunate to be part of a great group of players, a superb group of players, that came together over a long period of time. I kind of not retired, but I pulled away and was just doing a bit of coaching from after having a serious back operation in 2010. And Kevin and Liam and Benny had asked back into the fray in 2012. And there was a feeling, I think, when Kevin and Liam were over the team with Benny O'Brien, that it was going to be different. And right from the get go, and it proved to be the case. But you know, we got a bit of luck along the way. Certainly, I think the All-Ireland final, we weren't at our best, but we gained the experience of losing semi-finals and All-Ireland finals across Midlen. We'd beaten Cross in the All-Ireland semi-final, which was a momentous kind of an occasion, and players got further belief from that. And look at Inverness Common, when you win one senior All-Ireland, was the last one was won in 1944 by James E. Murray's great team, 43 and 44. We'd been waiting a long time, and I think, to be fair, the county clubs and everyone, the supporters, got behind us and gave us great support and along the way. And we were just fortunate, you know, something that you look back on now and say, look, this was achieved. But it's all about the next group now and the next bunch of players. They can actually go and achieve more things for both Roscommon and for Bridget's and other clubs. I think when, you know, Crones got to an intermediate final in 2015 and were narrowly beaten, everything, you know, gets a bounce and things like that, especially in small counties. It's great to kind of have that kind of a figure head group that wins something, and you can try and reach for the stars for. But you know, I was just fortunate to be part of that group. My life was dimming at the stage. At that stage, it was close to 42. I was 42 almost within 3 weeks of when we won that All Ireland. So there wasn't too many more chances going to come, and fortunately that one did. And on the day, and the lads were just outstanding. Every one of them stood up, and we got over the line. And you know, it would have been nice to have won probably 2 or 3 of them. I thought we were a group that could have won 2 or 3 of them, but thankfully we got that one. And I'll be forever grateful to Bridget's and to the players, and to Liam and Kevin and Benny, for the management, because I don't think without them we'd have won it, to be honest.
And you certainly wouldn't have won it without Frankie Dolan.
I know. Well, look, it goes without saying, the great Frankie Dolan. Like, I mean, the score he got was there's very few players in the Frankie Dolan kind of mold. Kerry are fortunate to have the Gooches and the James O'Donoghues, and obviously now the Cliffs and all them lads, Cliffords and all them lads. And over the years, some Mike Frank Russell, I played against him as well. Another great player in terms of forward play. And obviously the great Morris Fitz, and that many more. There's too many to mention in Kerry, but we haven't had too many in Roscommon in that mould. I think Tony McManus and Frankie stand above everybody else, certainly in the time that I played football. And Frankie was to me the greatest, and he showed it on that day. He stepped up against Cross Midland, probably man of the match, but in the final to get the score that he got was just incredible. And look at their memories. I think Donald, that we'll all take to the grave, and we're just lucky to have those memories, thankfully. In Kerry, you have them probably every year, or certainly every 3 or 4 times a decade on average, and we'd be envious enough of you in that way, but maybe when we just win the one, we hold on to it for that little bit longer.
Absolutely. Listen, Shane, thanks very much for this evening. I really mean it when I say a few calls came in fairly quickly. You've a very distinctive voice. They knew who you were straight away. Most people will be saying, who was the fellow on Tirstaw? Who, where was he from? What county was he from? You certainly didn't need any help, and you'll be forever known as the man with the big gun anyway, with all the under 10s and 12s and the 14s when they come out of Kerry eventually. So whatever legacy you have, you have a huge positive one. Come here, thanks very much. Really appreciate you taking the time out this evening. We know you're a very busy character yourself, and look, continued the very best luck to in you and all your endeavours. And of course, we didn't even talk about the kicking tee here, the whole lot, but the gun is the one for now. And that, of course, was the great, I suppose, Roscommon goalkeeper. I mean, maybe there might have been better than him or more than him, but he's certainly the one that we all remember down here as well.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Oh, the senior county football champions, I suppose they're revealed all over the country, and eyes are beginning to turn to provincial club championships. And I suppose while we'll be keeping a close eye on Kieran O'Rahilly's in the next couple of weeks as they get ready to take on the winners of the Clare champions and the Waterford champions at the end of the month. But there's a lot of Kerry players involved, believe it or not, with other clubs throughout the country and beyond. And one of my next gang, of course, are St. Kieran's. People say St. Kieran's, I'm thinking about it. But St. Kieran's, of course, are the London County champions, and they're going to take on St. Mary's of Leitrim in the quarterfinal of the Connacht Senior Championship next Saturday in Ruislip. And I'm delighted to say that I have two of those, I suppose, people heavily involved in the team: Gerry O'Shea from Derry Nan, who we'll hear from shortly, and Keith Curran from St. Mary's Land. Keith, first of all, congratulations on your county final. I presume you'll be getting a statue up there beside Segerson now, will you?
Oh, I don't think so, but thanks very much, though.
No bother. Keith, come here. The excitement of winning, and I suppose the final itself, I mean, it was a final that went to a replay, which was against your old, I suppose, rivals now, this team, Fulham mm-hmm. Irish. It speaks about that game and how dramatic it was.
Yeah, no, it was a tough game, tough going. The first game was, a very tough one. Joe, we kind of felt like we left it behind us, a lot of wides. A late goal from Joe Rock, he's been doing it all year for us, to keep us in the game. But Joe, to come back in the replay and have such a convincing first half by the guys, Joe, it was fantastic. Joe, great feeling to win it, and Joe, to retain the title is the main thing. It's a fantastic feeling.
Mm-hmm. And of course, the team St. Kieran's, of course, it's a London team, as everybody will know, but there's quite a significant amount of Kerry players in and around and on the panel with you. Would you give us a couple of names that people might recognise, apart from your own name that everybody recognises?
No, there's a few bigger men than myself. I suppose you've Kevin McCarthy from Kilcommon, he'd probably be one of the biggest guys there. You've Marcus Mangan as well inside there. You've Chris Farley from Drummond Pierce's, so only over the road from myself. And then kind of on the management side, then you have Martha Reedy, and obviously Gerry O'Shea, and then you have Jerome, who founded the club back, which is about 27 years ago now, when it was founded. So there's a heavy Kerry contingent within the club.
And where in London is the club based, Keith?
We're based in Barnet, in Northwest London. So we've just been given, in the last 2 years now, we've just got a new facility, our new council pitch, and basically we're hoping now in the next year or two to have a clubhouse built there as well. So the club is developing massively at the moment. So we've underage from under sixes all the way up to minors, and within the senior level then we have a reserve team, an English born team, and the senior team as well. So, and just as well, a newly formed ladies team. So the club is flourishing, and we're hoping now that we can start to build upon that, and there'll be something there when we're all gone.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a huge legacy to be putting down. Mm-hmm. Keith, we'd say, obviously, look, you're St. Mary's, South Kerry, and you travel away mm-hmm. to London and the whole lot. It's a different community to, obviously, the one that you remember at home, or the one that getting to games. Speak to us about that kind of transition that you go from a club. obviously the Jay is kind of the I suppose the focal point of most communities. It's a bit different in London because it's a smaller, I suppose, focal point first of all, and it's not as if every fellow understands what Gaelic football is, but a significant amount of people do. But what was it like the first time that you got involved in the club, and how helpful it was, and even for you maybe to settle down and meet more people, and then getting into that kind of training and all that kind of stuff?
No, it was fantastic. My brother Stephen played with the club, and that's kind of how I got signed up in 2015 when I first moved over. But welcome with open arms in 2015, trained with the guys, and then started playing in 2016 with them. And Joe was just accepted into the club, open arms, and the guys couldn't do enough for me really when I was inside there. Get to know people very quick. There's guys from all over Ireland inside the club, and get to meet people, and it's great for guys if they're coming over by themselves. They get to know people quite quick, and like always, you're kind of brought out and you're shown around London, show you all the good spots, and it just makes coming over to London a lot easier. You feel like you're not coming over by yourself.
Mm-hmm. And of course, looking ahead to next week's game, are all the Corns on the plane or the boat heading over?
They're actually not.
They expect you to get to the final, is it?
Well, as my father said to me, he was on for the replay. He goes, "We'll see you in Sligo, hopefully." he's confident.
Absolutely. Well, in all fairness, all St. Mary's people are fairly confident. I'm sure Penn would be pretty confident as well. Come here, final question, you know this haymaker was coming to you. Has Chris Farley mentioned anything about some results yesterday and some final that you mightn't be in?
I've been inviting him and I haven't got a message yet, so I'll probably get it tomorrow night at training, though, unfortunately.
You don't have any Port McGee fellas there, no?
We don't. Not yet, anyway. No.
Well, be thankful for small mercies, so, Keith. Listen, Keith, thanks very much, and the very, very best of luck the next day. Conor Beck, of course, you're going to have plenty of action, St. Mary's. That'll be unusual for you, won't it? An old St. Mary's man taking on a St. Mary's team?
That's it. Hopefully we'll come out of it, though.
Right, okay. Well, you never will. Come here, listen, the very best luck to you, Keith, and thanks for taking the call this evening. And of course, you have another good South Kerry man over there as well. He's not playing, of course. He's doing all the other hard work and putting the team together, the selector, and that, of course, is Terry Nance, Gerry O'Shea. Gerry, you're a hard man to get, I'll tell you that anyway. Come here, are you enjoying your time over there? You're there a while as well, aren't you?
I'm here since 1994, so yeah, I'm fairly... season 10 campaigner over here now at the stage.
Good God. What was it like? I presume Derry Nan was the club at the time, wasn't it? You headed from there to London, was it?
I did, yeah. Derry Nan. We were struggling to get going in Derry Nan. We had a decent enough team in the early 90s.
He actually had a very good team. I know it well, of course, being a neighbour's son out on the other side of South Kerry, but he had Mourns and Donnellys and Sullivans and a couple of Cliffords and Rails and Shays and the whole lot. He had plenty, but it was a club that when immigration really took, it really set in, it really kind of put the club down for a few years, didn't it?
It hit Derry Nan big time, yeah. There was all those families you named there. There was two or three of each one of those families sort of in Dublin, over the seas, all over the place, you know, so it was really tough.
Mm-hmm. And of course, you headed to London. The same question that I asked Keith, settling into St. Cairns at the time, was that the first port of call or was it the first place that you felt like home?
It wasn't the first port of call. I was with Kerry Gales for a little bit at the start. And then they joined up with the Kingdom, and I didn't go with that amalgamation, so I joined the Kiernans. But the Kiernans are a real strong Kerry-based club. Jerome O'Shea from Beaufort has been our chairman since it was founded in 1985, and Patsy Redmond from Temple Knows is a president, and we have Nola Sullivan from Spa. He's the president of Britain GAA at the moment, so we have a real strong Kerry contingent in the background.
Absolutely. And of course, talking about strong, you're a strong team as well, back-to-back London County titles. What was that like, winning the second one?
The second one was better than the first one, really, because there was sort of question marks over the first one. There was a lot of sending offs in the first year, so there was sort of question marks whether we won it really well, because they had four sent off and we had two sent off. But second year, in the replay, we went out and we absolutely blitzed them in the first half. Like we were 10 points to 2 up at half time, and we really stamped our authority in the game, and the boys really showed what they could do, and you know, it was really, really good.
Mm-hmm. And of course that kind of form is kind of crucial coming into the next round, I suppose, which is the Connacht Club Championship. As I was saying to Keith, it's unusual to be playing St Mary's. That'll be an old enemy of yours back in the day as well. But St Mary's of Leitrim, do you know much about them other than that they're county champions?
No, don't know a whole lot about them. We've watched their semi-final and final on YouTube. They're a very defensive-looking team. Very similar to Tour de Strand, actually, who we played last year from Sligo, and we lost by 4 points last year, which was over there. So, like, we're hoping Ryslip should be home advantage, should be a help to us, and we think we're a better team this year. We've strengthened with likes of Kevin Mack and a couple of other lads. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we hope to give it a right good shot.
And your Milltown man was flying in the county final, man the match, Marcus?
Marcus had a stormer, yeah, from centre back, like the 4 points from centre back. He loves football this time of the year, driving at men, and he likes the contact part of the game very much so. This time of the year suits Marcus down to the ground.
Marcus Mangan, of course, of Milltown, possibly mid Kerry as well, I suppose, if he was back around the place. Jerry, speak to us about London and the whole kind of home from home. I mean, people have this idea that, you know, you go to London, you're forgot about and you're gone, the whole lot. But that's not really the case. I mean, for people going over, there is football there. There is clubs that are looking for players to join them as well. I'm presuming the same with St. Cairns. You have an open policy. If any fellow was driving around the place this evening and saying, my Johnny is over there as well, he might want to play football, can fellas just rock up at the door and train away, or what's the story there?
Absolutely. We have three senior teams now in the club. We're only one of two clubs in London that have that. We have a senior, the senior championship team, we have a reserve team, and we have a junior team, which is all English born. So it's all people that have come through the ranks from our underage all the way through, and they play in the junior championship. And we welcome every player from anywhere to join us. Our underage structure has gone through the roof. We just formed a ladies team this year for the first time, and we've underage girls all the way up through, from under sixes all the way up to minor, and same with boys. Like on a Friday night up at our pitch now, we have 200 kids up there training, and all the parents, most of them Irish backgrounds or a second generation, but there's some people up there that have no Irish connection whatsoever, and their kids come down, they absolutely love the game, and you know, it's brilliant. We have a massive youth policy in the club.
Mm-hmm. And of course that's amazing, actually. I suppose I'm sitting here in Tralee thinking about Kerry fellas going over playing football, but speak to us about the next generation that aren't Kerry people, like you said, that you call them the English born players, learning a game that for most of them wouldn't be familiar with their parents or their uncles or whatever. I mean, that must give you great satisfaction for young kids to rock in with no background being Irish at all, and being able to hop and solo and pass and kick and score, and you never know, you might have the next David Clifford coming out of St. Cairns as well.
It's absolutely fantastic. You know, like I say, on any given Friday night throughout the summer up there, see all these kids, and they get loads of blitzes. They have the All Britain Championships. They go on the Fela teams, boys and girls. So like they've massive amount of football for the underage over here now, and it's just going from strength to strength. And like Mark Reedy there from Notnagarshall, he's the main driving force behind it, along with a couple of other lads, Chris Burns and Declan Ryan. They're the real driving force behind the underage, and it's absolutely unbelievable now what we have here.
Mm-hmm. And of course that feeds into, I suppose, the London County team as well, I presume. I mean, I was speaking to Michael Maher very early on the campaign here as well, when London were going quite well and there were a couple of wins at the start of it. I presuming a good number of St. Cairns boys are on the county panel.
Yeah, we had about five on the senior panel, and again the junior championship has been revamped now. Last year was the first year of it, where the London junior team has to be all English born again it's to promote the youth, and we had about five on the London junior team as well. They got to the All-Ireland semi-final, were beaten by Kilkenny, who went on to win it afterwards.
That's right. And the Kerry men in charge from Kilmiley. Mr. Walsh was in charge of them. Jerry, come here. We could talk all night. I feel I'm at home. Come here to me. Do you look at the home results every now and again? Do you look at do you take a bit of pleasure in Sneem Derrynane, you know, surviving and heading way up and playing in the Marys, I suppose, in the quarter final, the South Kerry was even the semi final they got to this stage. Do you still keep an eye on the home team?
Oh, absolutely. I keep an eye on all football at home and all over Kerry. And I saw the nice, lovely evening they had there yesterday for the Port McGee Carsevine game. Nice little shower there in the second half.
It was only a squally one, though. It wasn't a real shower, was it?
No. But yeah, no, I do. I keep up to date with all of the football from home, from all over the county. Yeah, we had a few of the Kerry players and Sam Maguire over here at the weekend and the Kerry Association dinner dancing. We brought Sam up to our pitch there on Saturday, and we had Sam, and we had the county trophy, and Paul Gainey and Gavin White and Ty Morley and Jason Foley came up, so it was great for the club.
Fair play to you. I'll give you the last word, and this will sicken poor old Keith if he's still listening. Is it Port McGee or Drummond?
Probably Drummond, because the experience of being there. I don't think Port McGee have the experience of the last few years.
You're only trying to keep Chris Farrelly's sweet. That's all you're doing, Jerry. Tough dairy, man.
Important.
That's very important before the next day. Come here, listen, Jerry. Thanks for talking to us. It's great to hear, and the very best look against St. Mary's of Leitrim. I mean, you're doing sterling work out there, not just yourself, of course, and Mort Reedy and the whole lot of you, and the amount of Kerry players that you're taking over. But, you know, the nicest thing of the conversation is the amount of kind of English-born players that you're cultivating into J-Stars, which is absolutely amazing. And to think that 200 people in a club in London turning up to play Gaelic football any one night, that's absolutely fantastic, and all that work is down to you, Jerry, and people like you who have flown that flag throughout the years, I suppose. And you know, you never know, all the Port Meath fellas will be on to you now in the next couple of times when you come home, just in case you get it wrong, they'll make sure you remember that as well. But listen, thanks very much, Jerry, and that it was absolutely fabulous. That of course was Jerry O'Shea, Derrynane of course originally, and Keith Corn, St. Mary's originally, that's Carstavine, St. Mary's, and all those players, Marcus Mangan of course, Kevin McCarthy, Chris Farrelly, and a good few more. He mentioned Mark Reedy as well, and of course the chairman, he said, was from Beaufort, Jerome O'Shea. So that's a mighty amount of Kerry people. So certainly we'll be supporting St. Cairns big time the next day against St. Mary's in the opening round of the Connacht Club Championship.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now, Dr. Crokes J are teaming up with Alzheimer's Society to roll out what I think is a brilliant initiative called Sporting Memories, and to give us a little bit more insight into that programme, which begins on Tuesday the 15th of November at their clubhouse at 2 p.m. Remember that date, we'll call it out a few times, is their club chairman Matt O'Neill and Catherine O'Leary from the Alzheimer's Association. Matt, first of all, did you do so many programmes and the whole lot, but this was one that jumped out at me and I said, my God, this is such a brilliant idea. Maybe you might just let the listeners know the nuts and bolts of it.
Absolutely, Donald, thanks for the opportunity of promoting it here. No, I was approached by Donald Murphy, Castle Island Desmond's man, about running a program called Sporting Memories. This has run very successfully in Scotland through the soccer scene there. People living with Alzheimer's or with dementia, the short-term memory is sometimes a bit poorer than their long-term memory. And to try and enable and reinvigorate a memory, which would be very important, sports is one of the big things that can lift people's memory. And here in Ireland, the GAA, of course, is the centre to most communities. And the Alzheimer's Ireland or Alzheimer's Society have decided to try and team up with the GAA to run this programme. So what it's about is, on Tuesday, tomorrow week, at 2 o'clock above in the Crokes Clubhouse, we will review the 1984 All-Ireland final, and we have Tom Spillane to be there, who obviously participated in that game. And we'll go through the highlights of it. Tom will talk about his experience of that day. Niall Batty O'Callaghan will do a short interview with him as well on it. And we've other things there with the Sam Maguire. The county board have happily allowed us to have the Sam Maguire there for the duration of the session. And we also, Father Liam Brosnan, who died some time ago there, was a great man to collect memorabilia, and he gave the Crokes 15 footballs going back through the ages, associated with different teams, Kerry teams, and signed by members of Kerry teams, Paddy Bowen Brosnan, right up to more recent days. Paul Russell, one of our own men, is in it. So it'll be going through that, giving people an opportunity to tell whoever turns up on the day about their memory of the 1984, what their experience was, what stood out for them, and we'll have a cup of tea and a bit of chat around it. Mm-hmm. I just want to emphasise, this is not purely a Crokes specific. It's open to everybody to come to it, and we would hope that anybody who's living with Alzheimer's or dementia and their families will come along to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
A very casual, informal occasion.
Yeah, I think it's wonderful. I mean, my uncle Alzheimer's as well. I mean, we understand very right about, we'll say, remembering what happened 40 years ago, but not remembering what happened last Tuesday. With us there is Catherine O'Leary from the Alzheimer's Society. Very good evening to you, Catherine, as well. Catherine, before we get into the nuts and bolts on that, speak to us about maybe some of the effects that Alzheimer's can have on people and their families, and maybe outline some of the services that are out there for you as well through the Alzheimer's Society.
Okay, well, the Alzheimer's Society obviously is a national charity for people living with any form of dementia, and we also support their family members and carers. We would have a range of programs right across the country. We have a presence in every county in Ireland, something people might not be aware of unless they actually, you know, really come looking for us when they need us. But we are in every county in Ireland. We have daycare centres, we have daycare at home, we have home care, we have dementia advisors, we have a helpline, you know, we have a range of support services. We also would do things like family carer training. So when a family gets a diagnosis of dementia with a loved one, they can come on that family carer training, which is provided free of charge, and just learn a little bit kind of about what, you know, might be ahead of them and how to deal with the situation. I suppose all in all, we would support people in any way that we can, and as I say, it's not just the people with the dementia, but very much their families and their carers that we look after as well. There are 64,000 people living with dementia in Ireland today, and that then would, you know, bring in about 500,000 family members and carers who look after those people or whose lives are impacted by dementia. I know my own mum has Alzheimer's, so I know I'm very conscious myself of the needs that are needed, you know, what people really need the supports in, and sometimes just not knowing that you're just not alone in that journey with dementia can be really life changing.
Mm-hmm. And that's what it's about, really, Catherine. I suppose for a lot of people, it's not knowing where to go, not knowing who to ring. At times, people kind of hide it maybe as well, and not willing to kind of admit that, you know, this is the path we're going down. But I mean, there is support there very early, and people shouldn't be kind of closing the door on it. I mean, they should be opening, and there is a huge extension of life, even events like this, and keeping people as active as they can get, I presume, and all that is people helping through Alzheimer's Society.
Yes, exactly. It's really important that when somebody does get a diagnosis that they do reach out to us and see what supports are there. You know, sometimes people, they might get a diagnosis and they mightn't have any progression within the illness for a number of years. You know, they could live really good quality lives, but it is important to reach out and get, like, whatever supports there are. We have the dementia advisors in each area as well, in each county, and they're absolutely amazing. You know, they will support a family, they will direct them to the whatever other external supports they might need, but also they're just there on the end of the phone. If you're having a bad day, or you know your loved one has changed in some way, maybe got more, really more forgetful all of a sudden or something, you can pick up the phone. You know that there's somebody who's really compassionate and has loads of empathy, and you know is really supportive and knows what you should do next or where you should go next. And just having that support at the end of the line can be just really, really vital for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Matt, of course, it's very important to say, just because it's happening in Crokes, like you said, it's not a Crokes gig as such. Everybody will want to talk about 1984, obviously. I mean, it was the centenary win. It was kind of the start of things again, or, you know, for Kerry, 84, 85, 86. Great memories, of course. East Kerry, of course, were kind of, I suppose, strong at the time, and the whole captaincy thing and the whole lot. Your buddy out the road, Ambrose, our own colleague here as well. Tom Splann, of course, is current, because obviously he links nicely to this year's team as well. And I love the way that you mentioned our own Paul Russell. I mean, Paul Russell in Croke lore, he's fairly famous, isn't he?
He is, but he
and fairly forgotten at the same time.
I was just going to say, a much forgotten man, like, you know, he's the man with the most All Irelands in Killarney. He's six of them, like, you know, and spanning quite a period of time. He great achievements. So, like, you know, hopefully in the future we will do something more pertaining to individuals like that, some of the Crokes people. But we don't want it, and we specifically picked something that wasn't Crokes specific for that reason, to make sure that everybody felt welcome. It wasn't going to be a Crokes thing. It's a, like, again, Crokes are really excited about this, because we're only the second GA club in the country to hold this. Nafina in Dublin have ran one session and were very helpful in guiding us to how to approach it, as obviously Catherine and Donal have been. But we're excited about this as a project. We get a lot from the community in terms of support for the club financially and otherwise, and as a club we were very much community focused, and we want to give something back into the community. And like, we do several things, like through our healthy club under the leadership of Eamon Fitzgerald there, like walking laps of the pitches and recipes for success for young people, to give them some recipes to go on off to college. We do it with our minors, and grow your own with the younger kids, like vegetables. And this is just another thing to kind of you know, be more community focused. It's just not all about hurling and football. While hurling and football are our focus, but there's more mm-hmm. to it, and we just like to kind of give something back to the community. And this is something, like, it's interesting to hear Catherine saying that her mom had Alzheimer's, and who has the family connection. Mm-hmm. I had it myself with my own mom. So there's not too many families that this does not touch, and you know, we are more than happy to welcome everybody. Like, Father Paddy runs a card night of Wednesday night, which is another kind of community focused thing, and everybody comes from around the area into it. It doesn't, there's no club, there's a few hot balls and there's games going on, right? But you know, this hopefully will be something similar, that we'll have a cup of tea, a bit of a chat, we'll have a little bit of an interview with Niall. Niall will be very good at drawing out different yarns from Tom, and Tom is very, very leapt at it straight away once I mentioned it to him. And indeed Ambrose wanted to be involved, but unfortunately had booked a holiday abroad and we just couldn't fit the time in. But we'll get Ambrose another day on some other subject. Like,
I'd say his appearance fee is going up, I heard, didn't you? Because Tim Minton, of course, won the McNamee Award last week. Well, he went up to collect it after 3 years of winning it, and much congratulations to Tim, of course. And Ambrose was part of that show as well, with all the team, and obviously, I suppose, 1984 as well, discussed on that programme as well, and well done to him. Listen, thanks very much for joining us this evening, Matt. Catherine, keep up the good work as well. 64,000 people out there and 500,000 family members affected with dementia and Alzheimer's. It's absolutely amazing, and I think you hit the nail on the head, Matt. Three people having a chat here on the radio, and all three of us affected in some way or the other, and that's kind of very important. And listen, thanks very much for joining us this evening. Just two comments in there as well, actually. What a brilliant initiative by Dr. Crokes. I really hope more GAA clubs play a more positive role in these initiatives. And then some guy says, 1984, what a wonderful year. What a great idea by Dr. Crooks. So I suppose you sent that one in yourself, maybe, Matt. You never know where that came in there, or even possibly. But listen, it's a great initiative. And sure, hi, who would want to miss Spotty interviewing anybody live? So certainly be there. And it's Tuesday the 15th, tomorrow week. And it's in the clubhouse there in Lewis Road at 2 p.m. And there'll be some good fun, laughter, and we'll have plenty of memories. And it's all for a very, very good cause. And hopefully they'll do it all over again.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now you're listening to Terrace Talk, 0667123666, and you can text us on 0833003300. Plenty of texts coming in. We're going to get through some of them here now as well. Hi, Don, love listening to the show each week. Was in Castleigan yesterday for the junior semi-final between Fossa and Ardfert. Just want to acknowledge the two Cliffords, who were very interactive with fans after the game. They didn't leave the pitch until they had a picture taken or autograph signed with every young fan. I even got one myself. Great ambassadors for the county and lovely lads, and I would love to see them go all the way and finish the job with Fossa. And that's from Con in Curra. They'll certainly go most of the way anyway, because Listroyer certainly are going to hand this to them, and that'll be a brilliant final. Fossa and Listroyer, neighbours. Hi, Dol, great show as always. Just want to give a shout out to the Kerry County Board for fixing the junior final between Cordell and Fires in Austin Stack Park next Saturday. I'm playing with Cordell myself, and it'll be the first time playing in Austin Stack Park. It's great that our efforts are being recognised by giving players the opportunity to perform in such a magnificent setting. That came on the line as well. So this point for the Ardfert footballers, so close and yet so far away. Next time, hopefully. And hi, Donald, best wishes to Shane. I'm enjoying your chat with him. You need a very good goalkeeper to win anything, and Shane was certainly a very good keeper, and that was Charles. Absolutely. Of course, Shane Corn on the first hour there, talking about all his goalkeeping memories with Ross Common, and taking that junior final off Kerry, of course. We'll always remember him for that as well. Now, the Gerry Kiernan Foundation was established there in early 2021 following the untimely passing of Gerry Kiernan, one of Kerry's, I suppose, most iconic athletes. The aim of the foundation is to continue Gerry's life work of supporting and educating young people, and in particular promising young athletes, by issuing grants to promising young athletes to help them along the way to reach their full potential. And I'm delighted to say that I have Brian Coleman on the line. Brian, of course, is one of the founding members of the Gerry Kiernan Foundation, and a man who knew the late Gerry very, very well. Brian, first of all, thanks for taking the call. When the name Gerry Kiernan pops up, and it kind of pops up regular enough now as well in various conversations, there still must be very, very fresh memories of him, because, I mean, you still kind of feel that he's going to walk in a door, he's going to pop on television and the whole lot. I mean, it's still, for many people, kind of, we still kind of can't get our heads around that he's not here anymore. But when did the Kerry man first cross your paths and that of your family, Brian?
Hi, Donald. Listen, thanks for having me on. Gerry was a big part of my life and my family's life, all right. And I kind of share your thoughts there. That most days I have a thought and think, oh, what would Gerry think of? And I have to go pick up the phone to give him a call. And unfortunately, he's not with us anymore. But a huge part of my life. I can't remember a time that I didn't know Gerry. Himself and my father, Mark and my dad, himself and dad were great pals. They ran hundreds and hundreds of miles together, and Gerry was in the house really from a very young age. Big part of all our lives. I was very fortunate as well. I followed him into the teaching profession, and he actually was influential in me getting a job in St. Bridget. So I also taught alongside him for the best part of 10 years. So huge part of our lives, and Like many people, made a huge impact on us, you know. So after his passing, we felt that it wasn't right just to sort of let it go, that we could do something maybe to kind of honour his life's work, and also maybe to continue it in maybe a slightly different form, but to continue kind of what he believed in, and basically to help athletes. So that's where the kind of the idea for the foundation came about, and we're a year old now, and we're going from strength to strength. We're pretty happy with our progress, but it's a work in progress, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. And of course, like a lot of foundations, I suppose, you know, on the debt, I suppose it's kind of a call to arms in many ways to keep the memory out there of the great man and all that he stood for, and kind of maybe bringing that kind of information to newer athletes who mightn't have known him and all that kind of stuff. But the foundation itself, I'm particularly interested in the promoting of the young athletes, because that was something that was Gerry Kiernan. Because, I mean, no matter who you spoke to, he kind of knew who was running over in Tullamore, and he knew who was running over in Russia, and he knew who was the next Ethiopian person. So he obviously had a huge knowledge of young athletes coming up, and that's what you're trying to do as well. You're trying to give those athletes a chance, or maybe a better chance, maybe even to make it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Gerry was a primary school teacher, so I mean, he kind of, you know, when you're in that profession, you're working at kind of developing people from 9 to 2:30 every day, and he carried that on into his coaching life. You know, whatever expertise he had, he wanted to pass it on to help people and to you know, give people the best opportunity to achieve their potential. So we kind of looked at it and said, well, how can we do this? And of course, we couldn't do what he did, because there was only one Gerry Kiernan. You know, he was an incredible, unique individual. But we felt, you know, that maybe if we could sort of support athletes in a financial way, that it would help them in terms of removing certain barriers, and that's kind of what we were about. We kind of looked at it and we said, is this something that would honour Gerry's legacy? And I was mindful of a story he told me about when he went to the Olympics. He qualified for the Olympics, and he was I suppose he was probably the last of the great amateurs, really. When he went to the 1984 Olympics, he was really in the top 20, the only athlete that was really working full time and training. But when he qualified, the school principal at the time in St. Bridget's was a man named Donald O'Mara, who some of your listeners may know, because he was a Kerry man as well. But he approached him and said, you know, what can we do to help? And Gerry asked for a little bit of time off, and Donald O'Mara said, that's no problem, you get your time off. But he went off then and said he could do a bit more, and without Gerry asking or knowing much about it, he did a bit of a whip around in the school, and parents got on board, and they raised a significant sum of money, which allowed Gerry to go away for a couple of months and train in preparation for the Olympics and not have that burden of that financial burden hanging over him, you know. And anybody who knows any young athlete at the moment, it's you know, it costs you money to compete for your country, it costs you money to try and improve. So I suppose that's where we're coming in, and we're sort of saying, you know, there is the grant system there, but it's not enough. They do their best, the association do their best, and Sport Ireland do their best, but there's need for more, and we felt we could get involved and maybe support that and support the athletes that way, you know. So we're in our second year now, so things are going well, but we certainly need a bit of help.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd imagine it's Gaspin, you mentioned the second year. I presume when you kind of start a foundation, the first year is, forgive the thought, but it's the honeymoon period, in a sense that, you know, everybody wants to support. The second year probably is a bit harder, because people say, oh well, you know, I done that last year, but now I want to go somewhere else. But there's a big opening here, I would imagine, for a kind of commercial sponsorship and people to get involved behind, particularly I'd say here in Kerry, because it's the Gerry Kiernan Foundation. I'm presuming all monies and none are accepted, but I mean, you're not talking hundreds of thousands, you might be talking 5,000s and 10,000s in that kind of way, or are you looking for big money, as they say in Kerry?
Yeah, well, we're looking for what we can get, I suppose. Don't, but yeah, now listen, in year one, it was sort of money came to us. A lot of Gerry's friends and contemporaries sort of felt, you know, there was an emotional tie, and they came and they supported us, and hopefully that will continue. But really, we're looking at a sustainable model now. So yeah, our next step is really we're going out to the corporate world, and we're looking to kind of partner with corporates that maybe have an interest in sport, and you know, we feel that the legacy of Gerry Kiernan, and any company that could attach themselves to that. And also, you know, to promising young athletes and supporting promising young athletes, it would be mutually beneficial for the athletes, for the foundation, and for the company. So yeah, absolutely, the corporate world is kind of where we're going to now, and it would be fantastic to have the kind of Kerry connection there as well, because Gerry was a very proud Kerry man. He spoke very fondly of well, his childhood years in Brosna particularly, and growing up in the Stowell. So we would love if we could kind of continue that connection and build, you know, within the Kerry community.
Mm-hmm. Speak to us about some of the athletes you're supporting at the moment. There's a big long list. You gave 30,000, which is a significant amount of money across. I think 20 odd athletes for we'll say last season as such. Speak to us about some of them and where they have gone kind of in the last number of years, and maybe some of them people might remember. I'm particularly thinking, of course, of the 10,000 meter runner. Efrem Gidi, fantastic performance. Speak to us about him, maybe.
Yeah. Well, we gave out 30 grand, as you mentioned, to 22 athletes last year, but Efrem was one of the big performers. He finished sixth in the European Championships in Munich this summer, which was a phenomenal achievement. And he has had a very colourful path. He's Eritrean originally. He came here and he was living in direct provision. He fell in with Clonliffe Harriers, Jerry's old club, actually. And they kind of took him under his wing and they've done a great job with him. He trains extremely hard. His coach, Peter McDermott, has developed him nicely. He's been very patient with him. He has struggled with injuries. He is supporting himself. He's delivering food, I believe, in the evening time. So we were able to give him a couple of quid last year, which meant he didn't have to work every evening, you know, that he could rest two or three evenings of the week. That in itself, even just giving that athlete that opportunity to focus more on rest and not having to go out in the evening time to work after a hard day's training. Because, these guys aren't training twice a week, three times a week. They're training 14 times a week, you know, sometimes more. So rest is key. We feel that the money, and he's acknowledged it, that the money he received from us did make a difference. It definitely gave him more time to focus on his running and more energy as well. But it's not just himself. Louise Shanahan, we supported the 800 metre girl. She went to the European Championships and made the final this year, broke the Irish record as well this year for 800 metres. She beat Ciara McGeehan up in Belfast in a great race. Another athlete that kind of made a mark this year that we sponsored was a young athlete called Reese Adamola, who was fifth in the World Junior Long Jump over in Colombia. So again, you know, it's across the spectrum. We have throwers, we have jumpers, we've sprinters, and we have distance runners on the books. So it was a very successful year. But I mean, you know, athletics is a tough game, and we have a number of athletes who have great potential and maybe got an injury this year. So, in some ways, it's even more important that these athletes are supported, because that will happen. That's the nature of the beast. And it is important that these people feel that there is a safety net there to support them when things go wrong. Because as I said, it's a highly competitive game. I mean, it's one of the. Jerry was very well known to broadcast this, but it's one of very few truly global games, so to make any kind of impact is extremely difficult, and I think we need to give our athletes any and all help we can.
Yeah, we were talking there during the week, Brian, sharing stories, of course, about Jerry Kiernan, and we probably went on longer than even on the show tonight. I kind of half bounced off you that Jerry Kiernan wasn't really appreciative of the GA world, but you told me that was quite incorrect, because he had a county minor medal that he certainly appreciated.
Yeah. Well, we used to have a bit of fun and we'd challenge him on it from time to time, and then it would come out, you know, he'd put you back in your box and he'd tell you he was a better Gaelic footballer than I was, you know, and he won a minor championship, I believe, with his club before he focused on the athletics, you know. But I think, you know, even joking aside, I think it is important. I know Gaelic football is huge in Kerry, and I was just listening before I came on air, and the your listeners were writing in about it, but not every kid is a footballer, you know, and it is important that other games are kind of promoted as well, because football is for some but not for everyone. And I think, you know, Kerry has a rich tradition of top class athletes. I mean, when I used to speak to Jerry, he would tell me that his hero growing up, it wasn't, and he was a GAA fan as a child, but it wasn't the footballers, it was Tom O'Riordan, the athlete, you know, the Olympian.
Mm-hmm,
so that was his hero, you know, and children children in these small parishes, they need some children will look up to the footballer, but the athlete is important, or the, you know, the rugby player, the soccer player, the gymnast, whatever it may be. But I think it's important that we give kids these opportunities. And you know, when Jerry was given an opportunity to run, coming from a small rural town, he sees this, and it's only when kids get the opportunities that they can actually grab them, you know.
Absolutely. Come here, listen, Brian. We could talk forever about the late Gerry Kiernan, and that's only about his medal with Field Rangers. I'm delighted that he said he was quite proud of it. Gerry Kiernan was an iconic figure, and there's no doubt, all over the world, and certainly here in Kerry. I suppose we probably don't remember him as much as we should, really. And look, the great work that you're doing there with the Gerry Kiernan Foundation, and listen, continued success with that. We really hope it sustains the time itself, because that name certainly needs to be remembered in 20 and 50 years' time. And you never know, of some of the athletes that you're helping out there might be Olympic athletes. I love the way that you mentioned the Shanahan girl, of course, beating Ciarán McGeehan. There's a bit of irony even on that one, I'd say, with Gerry Kiernan himself, yeah. Absolutely, having been such a great friend and early coach to Ciara as well. Brian, listen, thanks very much, and keep up the very good work.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now, if you're a parent of a child, most likely in fifth or sixth class or in any national school in Kerry, I bet you know all the meaning of the world come the month school. Well, you certainly have heard of it before, because it's the biggest sporting competition at level throughout the country, I'd say, at this stage, with many county finals already decided and some more to be played in the next couple of weeks, weather depending, I presume. And we decided to have a couple of busy men. We said we'd ask Tomás and Michal to join us this evening to fill us in a little bit more. Tomás, look, Tafalta wrote quick on Clare. Is far gnónach to?
Ira gnóchach ar úr ibh dónan lias ac Mourán ar siúl agus gara míl mahagad as nó cár an deis a húrtún con laut fí aliens cuman amun skall Mourán a yin a vins na skall na fudfad an chúnta fudfad an cuiga agus a fud na tír ar fad. And a lot of going on there with the last, I suppose, since come back in September. You come back in September, I suppose, nationally, you know, that some counties in Kerry, we concentrate on the football in September. We give it totally to the boys' football, and it's been working out great. That's the way it has been over the last long number of years, and we've kind of stuck to our calendar there. Other counties might run the hurling at this time of the year, and anybody who buys their national papers will have seen the huge amount of finals were played in Croke Park there in the week prior to the midterm break. Dublin coming to Munskull is a machine of its own. The same with Skeena Skull and Cork, like they're huge organisations. In Kerry, we try our best to promote the games through the brand of coming to Munskull in all the primary schools, and between from the two teacher schools right up to the big schools, we're delighted with the response that we get from the teachers, the principals, and indeed the people, the most enthusiastic group within the school, the pupils. And like I think I said, some tests there done, they were absolutely delighted to get back on the buses going to games again this year, and it's fantastic for them. It breaks, I suppose, the monotony of the school of listening to us old teachers or whatever kind of teachers we are at this stage, and you know, for them to be looking forward to the games and getting out to the training after school, the training at lunchtime and all that, and that's all part of it. Like, you know, it's the preparation for your particular competition, and it doesn't matter whether you're a two-teacher school or a big school, the preparation, the participation in their own robin part of the series of games, and then get to the cut and thrust of the competition, mm-hmm. the knockout stage. And then, you know, we have a different, I suppose, set up, like in our urban competitions than what we have in our we said district. Michal here now would be one of the coordinators, he would be the coordinator for the two-teacher competition, and that's initially run at district level. So you can be a South Kerry champion, West mm-hmm. Kerry champion, North Kerry champion for that two-teacher competition, the same with the three-teacher competition and the four-to-five-teacher competition. From six to seven up into the bigger schools, we run this kind of, we put them in groups. I suppose this year, the last number of years, what we've done, we put them in groups of four and as far as possible, sometimes maybe groups of six, and so that they get at least three games in their own robin part of the competition, and then that brings them on then to maybe county quarterfinals mm-hmm. or semi-finals.
It's a lovely idea, actually, the kind of mini blitz, the four teams arriving in the one pitch playing their three games in the one day. I mean, obviously one winner progresses and the whole lot, but the amount of game and fun, and it's like you said, they're getting back on a bus. I mean, some schools don't get the bus, they put them into maybe taxis and drive them wherever they're across the road, or
I'd love to know who those schools are, who can afford afford the taxes.
You'd be surprised at a lot of big paying schools out there all the time. But it's guess because the memories of the games are one thing. But for kids this age, it's the other memories that are important as well. It's who they sat beside, it's who they're getting to the dressing room, it's who they played against. To talk about the referees, I mean, under-12s talk about referees as good as the rest of us. And it's talking about the pitches. Some people have never been in that pitch. And then the other side of it, which I suppose, look, I'm engrossed in it now because I obviously have put my hands up. I have a young fella playing it, and my God almighty, I don't think you knew what coming to Munster goal was last year, but they're going well this year. That's all that matters, and they're going all the way to the end. But all of a sudden, there's family members going to games at 11 o'clock in the middle of the day, and you're saying, "How in the name of God, you get enough work to go to a game at 11 o'clock in the day?" And then you arrive yourself because you're just passing by accident. And there's loads of people at these games, and they're all punch proud of their little Johnnies and Marys as well, because the boys and girls playing sometimes. That must be hugely a massive vote of confidence for the guys that sat down, I don't know how many years ago, and said, "We'll get the kids to play football." I mean, you mentioned the word machine. You've turned it into something amazing.
It's absolutely phenomenal the way it has grown. I suppose there's a few things. Like, I mean, that we were in the lucky position that we said 10 years ago there when there was a big change, I suppose, in GAA as regards the approach for games like that. But we were lucky that we kept the competitiveness within the competitions, and that's what it's all about. Children, it's innate in them to be competitive and to give them the opportunity to go out and represent their school. And you mentioned there, you know, 5th to 6th class. In smaller schools, you guys, 3rd and 4th class playing, and in our football competition, this one here now before Christmas, girls can also represent their school playing with the boys, and they have to play within the boys' rules and that. So I mean, that gives it, you know, numbers can be very tight in the rural schools, and the fact that the girls can support, augment their team, it just means they can participate under the school jersey. Now, you mentioned, you know, the four teams. Well, what we promote really, Donal, as far as possible, is, you know, while we have four teams in a group, that they do play them in a league basis. So you're getting 3 weeks of continuous football, and it's amazing. It's amazing to see the progress in the team from the first game out to the third week, and then if you make it to quarterfinals and semifinals, they progress again. And you mentioned then going to different places. I had lads this year, like, getting on the bus, we went over to Listry, we played Fahad there, like, you know, we actually played Rathmore there the previous week, and for them it was their first time getting over there, and the geography of getting over there, you're going to pass Tralee, some of them, you know, they don't travel too often, and they are travelling in cars now, they have their noses stuck in phones or in whatever iPads and what they have not, or whatever else they have. Thank God in the schools they don't have those piece of equipment when they get onto the bus. I mean, for them to go past the rivers, the main, the lawn just away to the right, then the wild colonial Bible to stop there. Yeah. So there's a whole pile of things going on, and they're talking about that then when they get back on the bus, and they're talking about what they see and different things. It's a fantastic education because, you know, they see the mountains. It was fantastic to me just in that particular journey. There's the Gap of Dunloe. They're watching the McGillicuddy Reeks. They see in the distance, they see Sleeve Mission. Normally, they're just looking at these things on a map. Like. So it's bringing the geography and the history and everything else back into and this music and whatever back into the classroom for them, like, you know. And you mentioned that about parents going, you know, a piece of advice that I got from a friend years ago, that's when your children are playing games, try to get to as many of those games as you can. Now, unfortunately, it doesn't always suit us that we can get away to see the games they're playing, but like you said there, for grandparents and for parents maybe to sneak that half an hour if they can go left or right or whatever, and to see those, it's a fantastic and it's a great occasion. And I suppose we're blessed with income in the Munster school, to be fair, that you know, that the cohort of people who are running the games, the teachers of the sideline, you know, they're fairly fair minded people, like, you know, and there's good discipline on the field, and the referees, you know, thank God, you know, it's a big issue at the moment. I don't know how many games we have played. We had 6 finals there, Mihal, wasn't it, recently? We have more finals coming up now. They won't be played this week, it'll be next week. We might talk about that in a while. But thank God we didn't have an issue. And over the years, touch wood, that we haven't had issues with referees in the last 25, 26, whatever number of years, that it's really about 25, 6 years that Cumann Munster School is running in Kerry. And nationally, it's respect for the game, respect for the people in charge. And that is really, you know, the teachers emphasise that, and it comes out. It came out in spades in above Nassau Sacks Park there. Was at the fortnight prior now. We had to go a week earlier because of the county final. And weren't we lucky, because we got fantastic weather.
Absolutely.
We were both there on Thursday
evening.
It was 17 degrees.
Yeah. Michal, fixture secretary, I don't know, coordinator, it's a big title. It's a man who's on the phone an awful lot, organising everything and having a word about the weather and the whole lot. How busy are you?
Well, I I suppose I'm busy enough because you have a lot of districts. You have North, South, East and West, Castleiden District, Kinmare District. But we're lucky that we have teachers in all those districts that we can call on. So I'm involved in the two-teacher competition. So I have a contact in every two-teacher school, and I have a coordinator in every district. And I will ring them in, let's say, the first week back after September, and I will ask them to organise the district competition in their area. So that makes life very easy for me. And then when it comes to the quarter final, that's where I kick in really, and I have to organise pitches, maybe organise referees, organise venues, and decide who plays against who. But it's really very enjoyable, and there's the enjoyment the children get out of the games is what's most important, and the parents and the teachers and the work they all put in. And I see teachers will tell me, oh, we have a very weak team this year, but as time goes on, if they get past the first round, they improve, and next thing they could end up winning the final. So it's just fantastic.
So be aware of all those weak teams out there. Is that what you're saying, is it?
I can even speak about my own former school, Lochfooler. They told me they had a very weak team this year, and they ended up winning the county final.
There we go.
So that's it.
You were holding back, were you?
We were holding back until the final.
Miss Lane was a bit weak, was she?
I was the happiest woman in Park, I can guarantee you that.
Come here to me, the two-teacher school aspect of it, obviously we could talk about the bigger schools and the whole lot, and they kind of send their own feet, but for a two-teacher school, it's the single branch on the tree, really. It's the smallest one there. But these games are hugely proud, and I presume they get massive support within the community, because obviously small communities support small schools as well. What's it like for a two-teacher school to win a county final?
It's absolutely huge, because I've been on the gate in Ossensack Park, and the smaller the school, the bigger the crowd. You have parents, you have grandparents, they come in their droves. The whole parish come out to support a two-teacher school, and the big thing for them is the match programme. It's a collector's item. It's the first time they will see their child's name on a match programme, and they are delighted to have the match programme for eternity. But when they win, I know that my own school won the county final this year, and they had a big night in the hall after, and the whole community gathered, and they marched down through the village. So it's absolutely huge for the smaller schools, and it gives them a sense of identity. And for we'll say Lochfooler from Castleiden District, they played Valencia in the county final from the other end of the county, which was just fantastic, and the crowds that supported them in Ossensack Park was just tremendous.
Mm-hmm. Are all Lochfooler, Brusna or Knocknagoshal players?
They're all Knocknagoshal, really, mainly.
Really?
One or two from Brusna, but on the whole, they're mainly Knocknagoshal, yes.
There's a lot of mainlies in there, wasn't there?
Yes.
Yeah, but that is the beauty about school teams. I mean, you have your GA where it's your club players, but a lot of the school teams, there are guys that are from that side, and they're playing together. I think, for example, all the Gael schools, I mean, they have a mix of boys from different clubs. So even at that stage, you know, they're playing with kids that they're normally probably belting down the other side of the parish at the under 10 or 12 league, and that's something special.
Very, very special, very special, because they're all friends in the school and they can be playing with different clubs. And I think it's huge for kids to wear the school jersey. And there are some kids that will never play for their club, but they are so proud to wear their school jersey. And when the years pass by and they see those team photographs, it just means so much to them.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a very good point, actually. A lot of kids play for their school that don't play for the club, which is amazing. Yeah. And you see going forward too, sometimes in first year and second year, where all of a sudden they're saying, where was this guy all along? Or you know, maybe he might be one of the mainly fellas that you might go after. Is this
right?
Yeah. Tomás, a lot of action played already, but obviously a lot more to go. The weather, of course, has everything affected. I presume when you sit down to kind of work out things and get games set up and the whole lot, that's a headache in itself. But ultimately, the dream of playing in Ossensack Park, it's like the Crow Park. Sometimes it works well with the weather, sometimes it mightn't happen, unfortunately, due to, I suppose, conditions and what outside your control. But ultimately, that is the dream every year, isn't it?
That is the dream, Donald. There's no doubt about it. There's only one place in this county to play your coming to Munster finals, and that's Ossensack Park. There's a number of reasons. We'll say health and safety, the whole lot of it. You know that you have the parking there, and that you have the situation where teams can, you know, by the nature of the very thing that we're doing, you have one cohort of supporters arriving, another cohort of supporters leaving. So I mean, just for safety, everything like that is fantastic. But everybody wants to play on the sod where they saw David Clifford playing. You know, they've seen, I suppose, you know, all our county players playing, and some of them, like, you know, past pupils from their school, that this is where he played last week in the county championship or the club championship, whatever. You know, they want to play there, and it's a fantastic facility, it's a fantastic amenity. And then, you know, I suppose it's nearly 10 years now since we kind of started playing them in the evenings after school. Once upon a time, they played on Saturdays, but families are so busy on Saturdays now that our evening games have really worked out very well. Now, this time of the year, you'll be starting after school, obviously. You journaling into darkness, but the facility up there with the lights, it's brilliant. And we're extremely grateful, you know, to the cooperation that we get from the groundsman up there, from Gerrin, from the Cuisht up there in Ossossex Park, and indeed the county board. It's vital, and it is the place to play them. And Michal mentioned programmes there, you know, and the structure that we have in Cumann Munster for the different sides. If I start name somebody now, don't I go to miss out, but I mean, we have coordinators.
My producer would come in here and he'd pull you out of the place because he'd be saying, get him off the here.
Indeed, that there's so many coordinators and there's so many people even to help with the making of the programme. It's all time consuming, yeah. But we're very lucky that we have people, we have a huge cohort of people over the last 2 or 3 years, you know, who are in the background working, and they do the work, you know, pulling a programme together, just setting it out. That all takes time, and when you can break the workload, it just makes it easier on everybody else, like, you know. And another thing that's a fantastic promotion, I met a guy the weekend who told me he was watching a DVD of the Cumann Munster final he played about 20 years ago, like, you know. So I mean, he said that he'd only watched it last year, himself and a group of friends. And you know, Dan does those for us now. See, Christy used to do them there in South Kerry, but Christy's just a bit away from the show, and Christy's busy doing a lot of other things. So we've Dan here in town who does them for us, Dan Devan, and does a fantastic job. And it's a great thing for children to have, just to, you know, to be able to look back at the game. I always look at it like, you know, it's time consuming for us to make, and there's, you know, we do the commentary and all that kind of stuff. And again, we have a team who do that. We have several teams who do that, like, who come in and do a few games, and you know, they all help. And the thing about that is it's a great coaching manual, in the sense that a child can watch that and see the mistake he or she is making, or what they did well and what they need to improve and all that. And there's nobody putting pressure on them to improve. They can see their own thing visually there, themselves playing on the TV in their sitting room for the first time, and that's fantastic for them.
Fair play to you. So the wedding video and the video of winning the Division 2 or whatever, 2 teacher school.
Yeah. And you mentioned Donal, just the ones that are coming up. We had more finals fixed for this week, but unfortunately the weather and everything else, and there are big games above Ossossex Park, but we have 3 finals left to play. We have the 4-5 Teacher Shield, the semi-final. One of the semi-finals of that is on tomorrow between Sliabh Avadra and Waterville. They weren't able to play it prior to the break.
North and South.
The Minister for Education was calling to their schools, and she unfortunately, well, she took precedence to the Cumann Munster games. And what you called it through to that Shield final, Coulard. And then we have the big one, Donal. You're the one you're involved in yourself, the 4-5 teacher final between Kilcommeen August Lisbowl and Sun, the Division 1 final.
We probably won't be talking to each other that night, will we?
We'll be all right, Donal. The Division 1 final, then, for the first time ever, you have Faha National School playing their neighbours across the way, Fieries. Neighbouring schools playing in the Division 1 final. So after we're playing our large urban finals, the 4 top urban teams go in to contest the Division 1 final. And what semi-finals we had this year? Glendary beaten by 2 points by Fieries, and then Faha taken out the Division 2 urban champions, Kinmare. Nobody expected that one. And now we have a novel final pairing on hopefully Tuesday next.
God, that's really whetting the appetite. Come here, guys. We could talk a lot more, but we have plenty more to talk about. Sanctuary Runners coming, of course, after this break. But look, the very best of luck. You're doing fantastic work. Yeah, we'll have to make a date there, Kilcommon and Lisbowl. Yeah, the posters are up in Kilcommon already about Lisbowl as well. You're quietly confident. I heard you were training hard.
Tashira Dogan Gabug from the Hot. That's your role looking of a head train all. But like when the day Gamegan the Clehagan is Gamuigan in this far, Dogan Gramil Mahagat, Agzarish, Luhig May, or Urha Alliance. Munamek Alliance is a national organisation, Vemishi Driblod, and Mila Boyk is called the Prevedi in the Moon Tory, August in the Coordinators Galer, Corinne in the Ridablina.
There we go, the last word there from our friend Tomás. Tomás Michal, thanks very much.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now, the Sanctuary Runners are calling on people in towns across Ireland to come together to form new running, jogging and walking groups, launching their side-by-side programme. This week, the Solidarity Through Sport initiative was founded, of course, in Cork in 2018 by a Kerryman. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a second. And they hope to build groups in the 50 new towns across the country. But, of course, there is a group here in Tralee, and we decided to talk to Natie Feely, Sanctuary Runners. Sanctuary Runners, a lot of people would have heard of it, but for people that don't really know the concept, a quick listen.
Yeah. Very simple concept. We're just local people in the community that run with people who live in direct provision. As a one-liner, that's what we do. Simple, very low-key, that's it.
Yeah, and I suppose a lot of people, when we talk about direct provision, we all kind of know the stories of them arriving over and people kind of, I suppose, needing something to adapt to the outside world. But your running is something that everybody does when you think about it. I mean, you don't need a whole pile of pair of shoes, maybe, and off you go. And of course, it was a great idea. Of course, Graham Clifford, I suppose, is the guy that gets the plaudits for setting it up. Why did it take so long to do something so simple?
I don't know, really. Graham would have fired this off in 2018. And then, well, I think even by the end of 2018, there was a good few groups in Cork, but we don't talk about them. But then we started real groups in Kerry, like. But, you know, I think it is. The simpler the idea, the easier it is. And all it took is someone to start it, and that was it. And as you say, running is what they call a doorstep sport. All you need to do is step out and you're there. Literally, a pair of running shoes. You can even go in your jeans. Honestly, that's as low-key as it can get, and we do that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Talk us about the Tralee Club. So, I mean, you must have an awful lot of members, or extra members, or new members. Are you looking for members? Or
always welcome. Everyone's welcome. You know, no matter where you live and who you are, you're welcome to come and meet us. Now, this wouldn't be a huge club, and we have a lot of transients. People will come and join for a while and then move on. So we're constantly refreshing our numbers, like. But numbers-wise, we don't even take a roll. That's not what it's about. You know, the thing is, we're not a whistles and stopwatch crew, you know? It's not, we run.
It's more the social. The running is the reason for coming, but you might sit in the wall and have a chat as well. And how's life going and the whole lot. And I presume as well, I mean, you're bringing an eclectic group of people together that would have shared stories in one sense and loads of different stories in the other sense. And then you're building a bigger network of people as well.
That's spot on. That's it, Donald. The whole thing is, it's about contacts. It's contacts for us. You know, I moved back to Tralee 6 years ago, and even though I have my old school buddies and everything, you got to meet new people. And this is as good a way as any to meet new people. And people who moved to Tralee, a lot of our, let's call it local community folks who don't live in DP, they've moved to Tralee, and this is just another social outlet. It's another outlet. And as you say, yeah, the running is the running. And it could be walking, it could be jogging, it could be waddling. I mean, let's not get carried away. Yeah. I don't want to give the impression that we're some sort of an athletics club.
You're heading for the Olympics or something.
No,
you're not
the Jerry Kiernan.
You're certainly not going to be finishing in the top six in the 10K. But then again, like, I mean, I will say during COVID, obviously, I mean, people went mad for walking and jogging and all of a sudden we discovered things that, wow, you know, for all the negatives of COVID, there was a little positive side here as well. And that was in the positive ledger that we got a little bit more fitter and I suppose socially we kind of walked our 5 kilometres around the whole circle and the whole lot. Do you see a lot of people saying, I might join them, but I wouldn't be too sure now, you know, because it's a running club or whatever it is. But your message is, it's not a running club. We're meeting at 7 o'clock this evening. We might go for a walk or might go for a run.
I really want to take any bit of intimidation out of it. If I said I was here from the Harriers and we're at an athletics club, then yeah, that's a little, you know, I mean...
Absolutely.
Big shout out to the guys in the Harriers. But it's a different ball game altogether. And a lot of our runners don't run. They walk.
Yeah.
So, and yeah, and we've had some pretty fit lads now, very, very fast as well. So it's, don't be afraid. Come along. Whether you've always lived here or you've moved here, it's a very open door. And it's a very low barrier to entry as well. I mean, we will meet at, or we do meet at Parkrun, which is great because Parkrun's there. It's always there. So it's 9:30 Saturday mornings at the park, and you look out for us in the blue t-shirts, waddle over to us, and we'll take it from there. Simple. There's no signing up, there's no none of that crack. Just come, hang out, make contacts, make friends, drink coffee, and a bit of running. But that's okay. That's the thing, you know.
Yeah. My good friend Mary Conroy there, she's mad for a bit of running there in the evening. She does the Talk Sus programme. I might send her down, you know, to you.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now you're listening to Terrace Talk, Donald Byrne here until 8 o'clock this evening. Of course, I'm joined by Natie Feely, of course, of the Sanctuary Runners here in Tralee. And of course, we're talking all things Sanctuary Runners and running itself and the whole lot. Natie, it's gas to think that we're talking about what is now kind of a national movement around Ireland. And the guy that set it up was down the road in Dukes in Glenbeigh.
Absolutely, yep. Local boy, Kerryman. See, Cork are getting a lot of credit because it was set up in Cork, but just let the record show.
Yeah. He went there for the address, I'm nearly sure.
Yeah.
Sure, Graham. And of course, we're talking about Graham Clifford, of course. I know Graham well over the years. Graham, of course, had a stint here in Radio Kerry as well. He used to read the news.
20 years ago, though.
Yeah, very, very serious man Graham was. Is he still very serious?
Not at all.
Those Glenbey fellas, they were never serious. Talk about being serious, though, for a second. We have a group in Tralee. This is about trying to, I suppose, set up new branches of the Tralee as such. I mean, there's a lot of people in DP throughout the county in various places. I mean, this is about kind of setting up branches in other districts, I suppose, or in other towns as well. Is it that easy to set up?
It is. It is really, it's low maintenance. Now, you just talked to the guys beforehand about the admin involved in football for for schools, primary schools. Yeah. That's the honours course there.
Right.
We're more a bunch girl. It is low maintenance because it, you know, you can set it up, and it really is just about getting a few t-shirts. And I'm not exaggerating, a few t-shirts, organising a time and a place, and build it, and they will come. And people will come when you run with them. And some weeks you'll have 10, some weeks you'll have 1. And there is no other admin involved, or if it is, it's very, very minimal. So if you're sitting there in Carsevine or somewhere and you say you want to set something up, you know, get in contact with Sanctuary Runners, Anne-Marie at sanctuaryrunners.ie, and, you know, you can be up and running. As soon as you can get one runner, you can be up and running. And there's no heavy admin, anything like that. It's about the running and the coffee. It's really not about anything else.
What's the feedback from people out of DP, you know, that they arrive over, and I'm presuming one of their friends or whoever's staying with them says, 7 o'clock Tuesday evening down here in Tralee, there's a mad bunch running in blue t-shirts, will you come along for a thing? What are the shared stories that you hear? I mean, what's their impression of this mad Irish?
Well, the first thing is, of course, about the running, they think it's maybe athletics, so we have to disabuse them of any notion that any of us can run properly, you know. And then it is just about meeting, and like you say, you know, there'll be a little bit of shared stories among themselves and with us. But I think my nicest one was during the summer, the start of the summer, spring, when the Ukrainian women, as it happens, because they were all women, and a few kids came along, and it was very recent arrivals, and I remember one of them, Anna, turned around to me and said, you know what, this is the first time I've smiled or even been a little bit happy since we arrived. And I thought, oh, we're doing something right. So, and it was lovely, and they are the most regular people now at the moment, and that's nice, because, you know, just the suddenness of their arrival was something else. And to hear a little story like that tiny bit of feedback was fantastic.
Mm. And of course, we don't really understand their stories. I mean, we hear and we look at the news. I'm in a school. We have 30, 40 odd children come to school. But outside of that, we don't really know their worlds at all. So this is kind of a sanctuary, obviously, I suppose, to borrow that word. Do you know, away from the running side of it, do you go home every evening and say, that's something nice?
Yeah, that's kind of it. And it's not... Yeah, it's not charity. You don't feel like some sort of do-gooder. I get as much out of it as anybody else. It's more solidarity than charity, and it's very, it's kind of equitable. It's all very normal. I like the shoulder-to-shoulder thing, because when you're running, you're not looking into each other's eyes. You're running the same direction. It's a very non-threatening way to communicate. I know, might be getting a bit intellectual there, but that really works for me. Mm-hmm. And lots of the lads, especially, that I run with, that's definitely the preferred way of communication. You know, look ahead, talk rubbish, whatever it is, and that really works.
Mm-hmm. And of course, like, there must be a big social side of it. I mean, I was looking at it there. I think, is there nearly 50 clubs throughout Ireland at this stage, or are you building to 50 clubs?
No, I'm not too sure which way it's going. There are a few. I mean, everything's before COVID. Like, but you know, we got all the Kerry branches together there before COVID, and there was about, I don't know, about 70 or 80 of us galloping around in Killarney. It was fantastic. We need to do that again.
Yeah.
So again, if we can fire up a few more branches, actually, that's it. Get a few more, and then we should all meet up in Killarney, and then they can see that they've joined something bigger than their local one, and it is a big tree and branch sort of set up.
You have 30 locations across Ireland, 3 in the UK, and plans to expand to Germany and Belgium. I mean, it's such a simple idea, I suppose. You know, it's amazing.
We've given Graham enough praise already, but we give him one more. Fair play to him.
Well done, Graham. Fair play to you. Time to come back to Kerry now, Graham, and stop hiding out there in Fermoy or wherever he's hiding out. There's a lot of work going on, of course. I mean, obviously, I suppose we're talking about a low key just turning up, but it's turned, I won't say the word business, but it's turned into kind of a big association. You have big names. I see Eilish McSweeney there as well. She's come in as a lead helper as well. And I presume to grow a project this big and with plans to go to Germany and Belgium, you will see that you will have to grow the association.
Yeah,
big.
I suppose it's a network more than, I mean, our bit and Tralee, it can stay exactly as it is. And, you know, we're kind of low-key, but I'll have to say the guys in Cork, they're all about marathon running and they're into half marathons and all that. Fantastic. It's just not what we do. And if we got a bunch of fast people, maybe we would. But yeah, but it's that network in the true sense of the word. You know, not everything has to be the same everywhere. It's just a nice network.
Mm-hmm. You spoke, of course, about the park runs and everything. I mean, it's amazing. I suppose that really has taken off so easily again. Speak to us about how important it is to have a town park in your town in Tralee. I presume that's where you meet up to do the runs, is it?
Yeah. I mean, we'll meet. I mean, our absolute always is park run. But then we might use, for our regular other little runs, we might do of a Wednesday night if it's bright, we do the canal run. Very simple. Of course, now we have the Greenway, so that's another possibility.
Oh, yeah, it's huge.
So we are kind of spoiled for choice in Tralee, in fairness. I mean, and in fairness, a lot of Kerry towns are spoiled for fantastic running, be it Killarney, the Stole. There's no shortage of fantastic routes.
Mm-hmm. So what's your final pitch, Nathie? Where will I go next week? I'll bring my boots. Well, runners probably.
Saturday morning. Look for the blue shirts.
God, it's very early.
If you're
blue shirts.
I'll give you one.
Well, blue shirts, but we might say blue t-shirts maybe.
T-shirts, yeah. Oh, my God.
I said the old blue shirts.
We'll
skip that bit of history. Yeah, absolutely. Come here, Nate. Look, it was a pleasure to talk to you. The very best of luck to you and all your Sanctuary runners. And look, it's just an amazing story. I love the idea that people are coming from DP. It's not charity, it's solidarity. It's a big different step altogether. And I love the idea that, like I said, people from Ukraine came over and, you know, it was the first time that they felt part of something, and that's hugely important as well. I suppose we always talk about winning county championships and winning everything, and we kind of forget sometimes, don't we, very quickly, that sport is...
Majority of people in sport don't win anything.
Absolutely,
know?
Yeah. Well, you know, God, I'd have no show if that was the mantra. But anyway, we like to talk to the ones that win a lot as well. Nate, listen, thanks very much for joining us this evening, and that, of course, was the show. A fantastic show, a very eclectic show, actually. But before we go, we would love to see this returned to a player, or player's family. This is an email just sent in here now. East Kerry 1965 Senior County Championship medal was found in Killarney last Monday. Now, just to let you know that East Kerry didn't always win a lot of county championships, but that was one of the very first ones they won in 1965. And that medal, which is, I'd say it's a bit of treasure, really. And the owner can contact, and I'm allowed to give out the telephone number, my producer is nodding there, he's a great producer, he's there somewhere, 087 745 1469. That was tonight's show. We spoke to Shane Curran, the Roscommon goalkeeping legend, a fantastic man there. We spoke to Gerry O'Shea and Keith Curran, Derry Nan and St Mary's men helping St Cairns to hopefully a Connacht title. Of course, we had Matt O'Neill on as well, with Catherine O'Leary of the Alzheimer's, fantastic event happening there Tuesday week. Gerry Kieran Foundation was on, the Cumnamunsk Munskull Gang, and we ended the day with Nathie Feely talking all about Sanctuary Runners. So if you're around Tralee, get your shoes on and head away down there, find the guys in the blue t-shirts. We'll talk to you next week.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.